الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم My respected elders and friends, many of us have heard of the ayah of the Quran, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, that the months of Hajj are known, and we probably also heard the tafsir, the explanation of this by Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, huwa Shawwalun wa Dhul Qa'da wa Dhul Hijjah, that the months of Hajj they are known, and they are the months of Shawwal, Dhul Qa'da and Dhul Hijjah. As we also know and we are aware of the fact that this is the month of Dhul Qa'da, it is most appropriate that we discuss some aspect of Hajj. But when we go into the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find it voluminous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about Hajj in so many ayats of the Quran Kareem. And a striking feature of the Quran Kareem is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in such context that it seems as these three are inseparable, they are binding factors. We find in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses very little the masail of Hajj. But over and above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in depth of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and his relationship, especially at the time when he had built the Kaaba. We find Allah Rabbul Izzat depicts a picture of trial for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. There were tests and tribulations in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the one hand depicts the love and the eagerness of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, the extreme devotion and sincerity of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and respected and dear friends, above all, Allah Rabbul Izzat, in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows a very great lesson to the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find in this ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ. Prior to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the test of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And here Allah ta'ala says, and remember, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ. In this ayah of the Quran and many other ayahs of the Quran, we frequently hear and we read the word وَإِذْ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. Ulama of tafsir have explained that wherever the word is referred to or is used in the Quran Kareem, although it is translated as remember, but in reality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember with ilmul istihdar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember not only at the time of tilawat, not only at the time when we hear the ayat of the Quran Kareem, but at all times. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to remember and let it be in our hearts, refreshened, and let it sit into our hearts. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ. Remember the time when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam had raised the foundation of the Kaaba, and together with him Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam submitted and he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, if you look at the Kaaba, and if you only understand that great house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that merit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even discuss the material or the substance that had been used in the construction of the Kaaba in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as great as the land on which the Kaaba is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even discuss that land. The time that it took Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to build the Kaaba, that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not discuss. And in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even speak of the azmat of Baytullah itself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to a dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And if you look at the azmat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken about regarding the Kaaba, leave the azmat of the Kaaba for a second, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the person that goes to Baytullah for Hajj Umrah. So the person that is attached to Baytullah, that person also has virtue in the eyes of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected and dear friends, as far as the Kaaba is concerned, very, very briefly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of various ayats of the Qur'an Kareem. But just two ayats of the Qur'an Kareem, or rather just two words of the Qur'an Kareem, will sum up that great house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. And remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, we had made the bait, the Kaaba, مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ. A mathaba, a focal point for mankind. The ulama have explained this word mathaba means ar-ruju', something that that a person turns towards, something that a person reflects towards. By and large, ulama have explained that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to our outward ruju', turning towards the Kaaba, the direction of the Kaaba when a person performs his salah. Oh, a person goes to Baytullah, there is no other place a person can make tawaf. But when the desire of tawaf comes in the heart of a believer, he will have to make ruju', he will have to return to the Kaaba. Some ulama have explained that the ruju', the original ruju', the original turn back is actually the ruju' of the heart. That the heart turns towards the Kaaba, the heart is inclined towards the Kaaba. And as a matter of fact, ulama have given us glad tidings that a person goes for Hajj, and on his return from Hajj, a person has this inclination towards going back to the Kaaba. He is not totally satisfied of whatever ibadat he has carried out, but this desire and this longing in his heart increases to go back to the Baytullah. That ruju' of the heart is in actual fact a sign and a token of acceptance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then some ulama have explained, this word mathaba is derived from the word thawab. That the Kaaba is so beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is the Kaaba so beloved, but the person that performs ibadah in front of the Kaaba in the Masjidul Haram, Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that for one salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the person the thawab of 100,000 thawabs of salah. And respected and dear friends, this hadith perhaps we have heard time and time again. But let us just take a brief stock of this hadith. And let us analyze this hadith for a brief moment. 100,000 salat, if we take it as a farz salah, for one farz salah that a person performs in the Masjidul Haram, it will take us a period of over 54 years to perform 100,000 farz salah. So one farz salah in Baytullah is equivalent to more or less the entire life salah of a person out of the Masjidul Haram. And then ulama have gone further, that if we perform that one salah with jama'ah in the Kaaba or in the Masjidul Haram, then it is multiplied 27 times, 2.7 million. Respected and dear friends, that is this mathaba, the beloved house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person that goes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how beloved isn't he in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word qiyam, that Allah ta'ala had made the Kaaba a means of existence of the entire mankind. That it is because of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the entire nizam, Allah ta'ala keeps the entire system of this alam, of this entire universe in order. Some ulama have explained, it is because of this fact And a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that no sooner does the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stop performing hajj and tawaf of Kaaba, they stop going for umrah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the Kaaba from the surface of this earth. Some ulama have went even further to explain that this qiyam, that the Kaaba being the source of existence of the entire alam, is like the magnetic attraction of a magnet. A person can see it, a person can see the attraction, but a person cannot understand that attraction. That is what qiyam is all about. But some ulama have explained that qiyam is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Kaaba is a means of hidayah for the entire universe. And it, because this Kaaba is a means of hidayah for the entire universe, and it appears in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the hidayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down from the Arshi Azim, that hidayah first comes down to the Baytul Ma'mur. The Baytul Ma'mur is the Kaaba of the skies. From the Baytul Ma'mur, that hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filters and it comes down to Kaabatullah. And from there that hidayah is distributed to the entire alam. Now if we corroborate this with another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that this world will never come to an end so long as a single person takes the name of Allah. Respected and dear friends, now we will understand that when the Kaaba no more exists, then that hidayah will not come down to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence this entire world will be destroyed. From here we can understand that the ruh, the soul of this entire earth, the ruh and the soul of yours and my existence, and the existence of the entire alam, and the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all dependent on the Baytullah, on the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached so much of value to the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached so much of virtue to the Kaaba, to the person that visits the Kaaba, in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merely says that remember, recall and keep this incident fresh in your minds at the time when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had erected the Kaaba with Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Rabbul Izzat merely narrates a dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Ulama have explained the very basic meaning of this is, our Lord, taqabbal minna, accept from us. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had made hijrat from Syria, from ancient Syria. That land that was lush and green, that land in which he lived, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves that, he makes hijrat and he comes to Makkah Mukarrama, a land that is absolutely dry, a land where there is no source of survival, but in actual fact, an endanger to life at that particular time. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, Allah Rabbul Izzat draws our attention to this fact, that look at the humility of this banda of mine, that at that time this thought did not come, that the most noble portion of this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having the most noble, the house of Allah Rabbul Izzat erected on this spot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's banda, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's heart has not got this ujb, it does not have this pride and this vanity that now I have achieved something and I am fulfilling a very great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His concern was, Rabbana taqabbal minna. The ulama have explained in Arabic, one is the word qabul and one is the word taqabbul. The word qabul means accept. The word taqabbul also means accept. But qabul is this, that when a person has done something worthy of acceptance for his master, then he will say qabul. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam does not use this word qabul. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam uses the word taqabbul. That whatever I have done, I do not feel it fit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance. Oh Allah, through your fadl, oh Allah, through your grace, you accept this from me. Respected and dear friends, this becomes a very great lesson. And this is in actual fact and the reality of this ayah, that Allah Rabbul Izzat is teaching you and I, the reciter of the Quran Kareem, you and I, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a very great lesson. That whatever we do, whatever ibadat we do, whatever khidmat, whatever services we render to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however great it may be, however minute it may be, this ujb and that pride should not come into our hearts, but that fear and that fikr, that concern of qabuliyat, of acceptance in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be of our prime importance. We find in the hadith, Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble habit was that after he would complete his salat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Astaghfirullah, 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 thrice. The ulama have queried and inquired, what is the reason of this? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salat, the namaz of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, we probably heard in the Salatul Kusuf at the time of the solar eclipse, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam salat was of such a magnitude, that in that particular namaz, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Madinah Munawwara, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is performing his salat, and in that very namaz, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leans forward. And then after a while, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steps back. When the salat was over, Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum inquired from Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had seen a very strange and unique thing today. You went forward and then you went backwards. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, that in my salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown me the fruits of Jannah. They were hanging right in front of me, and my desire was, and listen to the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I desired to pluck the fruit, not for me, but for you to taste. And I swear qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that fruit had come in my hand, it would have never diminished even till the day of Qiyamah. And then Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum inquired from Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you went back. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam replied, Oh my ashab, at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown me the flames of the fire of Jahannam. I feared that perhaps those flames will touch me and move behind. That was the quality of the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what reason would Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to say Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah after his salah? The ulama have explained, like Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam used to say, Ma abadnakam. Ma abadtuka haqqa ibadatik. Oh Allah, I could not fulfill your ibadat. I could not make that ibadat to fulfill the haqq of your ibadah. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attitude. La uhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this. It is my aqidah and it is your aqidah. That if we take all the people of this world, if we take all the angels with all the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam with all the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the awliya of this world, their praises all together will not equal the praises that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had offered for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah's Rasul, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, La uhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Oh Allah, I cannot enumerate, I cannot fulfill the haqq of your thana, I cannot fulfill the haqq of praising you and glorifying you. So respected and dear friends, after the salah, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say Astaghfirullah, that perhaps perchance in my salah I did not fulfill the haqq of the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is abadiyat, this is servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, first of all myself, we need to reflect that we carry out a little ibadat for the cause and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we feel so filled with ourselves that we had achieved a very great thing. We go for Hajj of Baytullah. We think it is a great achievement. We render services to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think it is a great achievement. Let us reflect and turn back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in this instance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about his pious servants, those people who slept but little at night. In other words, they exerted the entire night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And at the time of Sihri, the entire night comes to an end. From Isha, they are involved in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Sihri, when the time of that ibadat comes to an end, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. At the time of Sihri, they are making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst these bandas, amongst these servants, was also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The entire night he will fulfill in ibadat. The entire night he will spend in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the time of Sihri, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Siddiqa Aisha, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, once inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is this istighfar? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that despite the fact we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shan, the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where is the status of our own ibadah? My respected and dear friends, we find in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had to leave Makkah Mukarramah, 21 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarramah, the difficulties that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had went through, the jihad and the fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most especially against the kuffar of Makkah, the culmination of all that was at the time of the conquest of Makkah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is entering Makkah Mukarramah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, once he is telling the tabi'een, he is telling his students that I remember this occasion when Allah's Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his camel Qaswa, and Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes were filled with tears, and the tears were rolling down the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is reciting the ayah of the Quran, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. He is now entering Makkah in inverted commas as a conqueror of Makkah, and at that time Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chin is touching his chest with utter humility. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters. When he sees the kuffar of Makkah, he tells them, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame upon you on this day. My respected and dear friends, this was Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Izzat had sent down Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the entire Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us on various occasions in the lives of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from you and us. My respected and dear friends, we come back to this ayah of the Quran, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are sami'a, you are all hearing, you hear my dua, and at the same time you are alim, you know my niyat also. Respected and dear friends, this becomes a lesson for you and I, that whatever ibadat we render for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the one hand, we should bear in mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we should bear in mind the weakness of our own ibadat. It should not be that ujj comes into our hearts, vanity comes into our hearts, pride comes into our hearts, and we feel that we have rendered a very great service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel that our ibadat is accepted, and we feel the ibadat of someone else to be worthless. The ulama have stated, إِنَّ مِنْ جَزَاءِ الْحَسَنَةِ حَسَنَةٌ بَعْدَهَا. That when a person carries out an ibadah, and after that, when he finishes that ibadah, and he has this in mind, that this ibadah is very weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. And one very great sign of the acceptance of that ibadah, one very great reward of that ibadah is this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person the tawfiq to carry out another ibadah. وَإِنَّ مِنْ جَزَاءِ السَّيِّئَةِ سَيِّئَةٌ بَعْدَهَا. And when a person carries out an evil deed and he does not make tawbah, he does not regret, then one great adab, the greatest adab is the adab of the hereafter. But in this material world, the greatest adab is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person does not make tawbah, the black spot of his heart, and because of that he will carry out another guna. And respected and dear friends, that is a great adab, because now there is no turning point for that person. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat give us the reality of the deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qualities of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Over and above all, Allah Rabbul Izzat give us the hearts of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And Allah ta'ala accept our ibadah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.